You're listening to Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And a very pleasant good Saturday morning to you. Welcome into the first October edition of the KLEM Coach's Corner, right here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you, pleased to be bringing you another edition of the Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Nohava Construction, Chapman Overhead Door, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, True Health Chiropractic, and Floyd Valley Healthcare. Boy, do we have a good show for you. We always try to bring you good shows, but we love bringing you good shows when we can talk about three wins, and we're going to be doing that today. Coming up first will be the head coach of Lamar's Community Football, Coach Ken Bigdahl. The Bulldogs are now 3-0 in their district after a stomping win of 42-7 over Fort Dodge, a drubbing. I was trying to think of the right word for it, but the Bulldogs, however you want to call it, are now 6-1 and 3-0 in the district after the road win, the long road trip to Fort Dodge. So we'll talk with Coach Bigdahl about that contest. After him, we'll talk about a homecoming football game with Galen Catholic head coach Jeremy Schindler. The Jays, well, they've solidified the playoff spot with their victory over South O'Brien last night. 33-0, by the way. That had to feel good for that defense. So we'll talk with Coach Schindler all about that. And then coming up at the end of the program, we're going to be talking with the district champs in Class A District 1. That'd be Akron Westfield and head coach John Sievert. The Westerners defeated Alta Aurelia. The Westerners are ranked number 10 in the Class A football rankings from the Iowa High School Athletic Association, and they shut out Alta Aurelia last night 25-0. So lots of good things to talk about with Coach Sievert. His Westerners, again, are the district champs, 5-0 in the district. They haven't won it outright yet, but they have the tiebreaker over the only team that can catch them in MMCRU. But a win next week would give them the outright district title. So great things for those three coaches, and that's who we're going to have on our KLEM Coaches Corner program this morning. Let's quickly run down the scores from around Plymouth County. Fifth-ranked Remsen St. Mary's, they won their district as well. No shocker there. They won 20 games in a row, defeated Woodbine last night, 56-26. MMCRU won a non-district contest, 42-7 over Westwood. And then we mentioned Galen, 33-0 over South O'Brien. Akron Westfield, 25-0 over Alta Aurelia. In Class A District 8, this had to feel good for Kingsley Pearson River Valley, bouncing back into the win column in a big way with a 48-6 victory over West Monona. We had a lot of district title games last night in Plymouth County. One of those was in Hinton, where the Blackhawks could not quite get the better of OABCIG. The Falcons take the district title with a 12-6 win over Hinton. And then, of course, you mentioned as well, Lamar's beating Fort Dodge on the road 42-7. If you missed that game and you want to check out any of the action from last night, you can do so by going to the KLEM Radio YouTube page. We have all of our games archived, and you can check those out at KLEM Radio on YouTube. And enjoy the game again. If you were there, you can watch it and listen to Gabe and I talk about it. Or if you missed it and you want to see some of the highlights, we can do that for you as well. Now let's take a break. We'll come back. And when we do, Ken Bigdahl, head coach of Lamar's Community Football, joins us on the Coach's Corner right here on KLEM.
Specializing in EPS buildings and homes, new construction, and remodeling, Sitzman Construction has been doing business in the Lamar's area for 15 years. They're your area expert in EPS solid core shops and homes. Jeremy and his crew would love to come out and give you a quote on your post-frame agricultural building, new home construction, or even your home remodeling project. At Sitzman Construction, quality and customer satisfaction are the focus on the job. Call Jeremy today at 546-4263 and start building with the best, because at Sitzman Construction, they satisfy your construction needs.
Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Michael K. Rulin about the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. It's a personalized, flexible, step-by-step approach toward financial balance. Call Michael K. Rulin, Financial Advisor, Certified Financial Planner Practitioner, Ross Rulin, Associate Financial Advisor, or Sam Van Wettering, Associate Financial Advisor at 546-9525. Office is located at 129 Central Avenue, Southwest Lamar's, Iowa. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
Let me welcome you back to the Week 7 edition of the High School Football Coaches Corner right here on KLEM Radio. It's brought to you by Nohava Construction, Chapman Overhead Door, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, True Health Chiropractic, and Floyd Valley Healthcare. Joining us now is the head coach of the 6-1 Lamar's Community Football Team, 3-0 in their district. That's Coach Ken Vigdahl, the Bulldogs 42-7 winners on the road at Dodger Stadium in Fort Dodge last night to get them to that 3-0 mark in Class 4A District 1. Coach, first of all, you got off to just a really, really good start. Third defensive play, you pick off a pass, and your first offensive play, you get into the end zone. Did that just kind of set the tone for what was to come the rest of the game?
I think it really did, and you know, for us, it set the tone of, you know, it was really nice to go 1 yard for your first touchdown. Defense shuts them out, but I really think it set the tone for them. I think when I look back, or you think back, I think that was like they just went in a aha moment of, oh, the Bulldogs are for real, and they're going to come and hit us, and they're going to intercept a pass, and before we know it, we're down by 7. So I think that was really the tone that was sent by our defense and then our offense. And it was kind of like an impact, not just on us, but really on them.
Well, you know, I think the tone was really, you know, set, especially in the passing game, because I remember we talked about it in the pregame a ton. They wanted to run the ball a lot. You were talking about how the passing just kind of wasn't their strength. And you put them, Gabe mentioned it, you put them in a lot of the kind of very obvious passing downs, third and long, third and 8,
yep.
And they just couldn't do anything. Just what kind of things did your defense do right in the passing game?
Well, I just think it started by Coach getting, you know, Fort Dodge off schedule. You know, we talk about schedule all the time. First down, you got to get 3 or 4. Second down, 3 or 4. So your third and short, third and medium. And, you know, I look at their third down efficiencies when it's 3rd and 9. What are you going to do? I mean, you couldn't run the ball the first two plays, so you're not going to run it the third play. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you have to pass it. They know it. We know it. Everybody sitting in the stands knows it. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things like a defensive back's not going to bite on a short route because they have to get to the sticks. And so, you know, I just think it was the third down was a combination of things that happened in first and second down.
Well, and Coach, I think it's very evident the fact that your defense came to play when you look at some of their down statistics. Only 5 first downs, and they did not convert any of their 12 third downs. I mean, do you just look at some of those numbers, and maybe Coach Van Otterloo looks at some of those numbers too, and just takes a lot of pride in the work the defense did last night?
Well, exactly. When you go 0-for-12 on third down conversion, I mean, that says a lot, because most teams are going to be in some type of a third down. And they were in 3rd and 10 every time they were in third down. There were a couple times that right. It was 3rd and short, 3rd and 2, and they still don't get a first down. So those are the impressive ones. The 3rd and 15 or the 3rd and 10, you know, yeah, that's a chance they're going to take. And we knew their quarterbacks, you know, had not passed the ball a ton throughout the course of scouting them this week. But, you know, when you stop them on 3rd and 2 or 3rd and 1, that's pretty impressive.
We were talking about this, you know, if we keep talking about your defense a little bit. We were talking about this up at the booth, how it was a lefty quarterback, so it was a different thing that you've seen this season. But also, we were kind of putting 2 and 2 together. He was actually able to watch Alex Allen pressure him the whole night, whereas a lot of quarterbacks just kind of it hits them before they realize it. Do you think that also kind of helped to speed him up, because Alex can get around that tackle as quick as he wanted, it seemed like last night?
Well, whenever you get off a quarterback spot, you know, we talk about the spot is where they want to throw from, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you have a guy that you're looking, you know, are you looking at the receivers? Or are you looking downfield? Or are you looking at Alex trying to sack you? You know what I mean? So it's one of those things that, yeah, he's probably looking downfield, but in all reality, even quarterbacks, you know, they're looking at the guy who's coming off the edge hard. And, you know, like Alex got a great push last night, even though I don't know if he had a sack or, you know, mm-hmm. tackle for loss. But, you know, the whole deal is you don't have to do that to make a quarterback, you know, not hit his target. rushing a quarterback makes that happen. You know, being able to stand back there, you know, set your feet, go through your throwing motion, step forward and open up and throw, you know, get your hips through. That's how quarterbacks are on target. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But when they're constantly having to move and get off target, you know, like we talked about, and get off their spots, you know, hitting receiver is almost secondary.
Right. Ken Vigdell with us, head coach of Lamar's Community Football on the Coach's Corner after a 42-7 win over Fort Dodge. Just a lot of things going well for you there on defense. Let's talk about the offense, Coach. The first half, you guys moved the ball pretty well. I mean, you were doing a lot of things right, but it was kind of like we were mentioning at the halftime break, just, you know, a lot of things done well, and then I'm sure there's probably talk about taking care of the football because at that point you had fumbled once, you had one bad snap, and had muffed a punt. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things. Like, I guess, you know, the positive thing we talked about was you're doing everything right except for maybe two or three little things. Is that kind of how you viewed it in the locker room too?
Yeah, we really did. We talked about how the things that we have to do has to be able to help our offense. And, you know, just like you said, fumbling the ball, turning the ball over, that's definitely not what we want to do. But I think the signature moment in the first half when you talk about our offense was we were up 14-0. They go down and score, and it's 14-7. And that very next drive, it took us four plays to score. And I think that's when our offense, you know, really came to light and said, yep, when we're all firing on 11 cylinders out there, I mean, they were pretty impressive, you know what I mean? So I thought that was a signature moment really in the first half, which kind of continued to build through halftime. And then obviously in the second half, I thought we came out with a lot of fire, and it was like 1, 2, 3, and you know, we're moving the ball, and we were able to score a few more points.
Do you think that drive was a little bit extra impactful considering you were upping the tempo, you were hustling the line, you had everybody just go, go, go because, you know, you really wanted to answer right away?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think when you're kind of that, and always when you score first and relatively easy like we did, you know what I mean? You get the ball on the one, you punch it in. It's like lots of times, you know, kids kind of think, well, we can just do this whenever we want. You know what I mean? And so, you know, always scoring on that first play is great, but it's also like, well, it's easy. Well, you know, when you go to Fort Dodge, really nothing is ever easy. And you know, they play hard, and, you know, it's those kids that we don't know about, and maybe that's what makes us a little extra nervous about the whole game situation, you know, because they're so far in the middle of the state and stuff. But, you know, I just think that once we did that and then we set that tone right there on that drive, I think that was like our offense was like, here we go. We're running downhill. We know what we're doing. They're not doing anything that we haven't practiced. And we just fit in our blocks, stay on our blocks. And, you know, Tegan had a big run. And then, you like we call it wave. We're going to go. You know what I mean? We've got one play. It's one play with RPO, and everybody knows it. And we want to go as fast as we can. And I always think tempo is, especially after a big play, is detrimental to a defense because it's like you've just given up a big play, and now the offense wants to go, you know, super fast, NASCAR, whatever anybody wants to call it.
Ken Vigdell with us, head coach of Lamar's Community Football after a 42-7 win over Fort Dodge last night. You mentioned Tegan there, and he was your I guess top earner, top scorer, however you want to phrase it, last night offensively. What did you see from him in making the reads in those you know, RPO situations, and you know, his ability to really break off some nice long runs for you, and always seem to find the end zone?
Yeah, I think the great thing that we were able to do last night that we probably haven't done in the last couple weeks, and it's a little bit on how the defense plays you, but you know, he really opened up the RPO game last night in our 2x2 set. And, you know, we were getting it outside to our number one receivers. And, you know, like we call it a key one. And, you know, Andrew and Nolan both had over 15, 16 yards on key ones. That's a pretty big deal because we end up, you know, we talk about staying on schedule earlier. You know, even in an RPO game, you want to gain minimum of 4 or 5 yards on something like that. So, you know, I thought that opened up. I think we had a couple big key twos. That's our two receiver side. But we had what I noticed out of our receivers, all four of them last night, was when you're throwing those key ones and key twos, we had excellent blocking on the edge. And so, you know, that allowed Tegan to get it out there, you know, and it's just like passing downfield. It's a comfortable thing. He got comfortable. Our receivers got comfortable with, you know, being able to catch it. And, you know, even though we practice it every day, it's, you know, we don't always practice it with a guy 6 yards from you. You know what I mean? And so, you know, the other thing is about that is they had to commit more guys to the line of scrimmage because we were running inside zone, you know, well and getting 4 or 5 yards at a pop. So they couldn't pull the backer out of the box to cover a number two, or they decided not to. And, you know, it was really just different things of, you know, we threw a couple different formations that we'd used earlier in the year last night. And, you know, I think that really gave them problems. I mean, in Trips one time when he throws a key route out there, they've only got two guys out covering three. I mean, we talked about this in pregame was, you know, all the other times we had seen Trips, they wanted a plus one out there. They wanted 4-on-3 or whatever. And then we throw it out there, and then they only get two out there. You know what I mean? So it was interesting how they would defended things. They were not they did not want us to run counter. They kept more guys on the backside of things. And so we just simply, you know, it's a numbers thing like we talk about all the time. And we ran to the front. I mean, it's like if you want to keep four guys on the backside to sweep, that's fine. We're sweeping to the left or sweeping to the right.
Yeah, I noticed you did that kind of with your jet sweeps a lot. Evan Pratt carried the ball for you a bunch. You know, you got a few guys involved. So, yeah, it was a really well-executed night offensively, and you were able to take that in the second half as well. I mean, you know, Coach, I guess what does it say about you know, your team that with a two-possession lead at the break and, you know, kind of feeling the momentum start to shift your way there at the break, you still come out and you take care of business. You score twice pretty quickly in the third quarter, and then you slow things down, chew some clock, and get to the running clock in the fourth. Just what does it say about the fact that they were able to still come in second half, still with a big lead, and put their head down, get to work, and you know, finish the game off right?
Well, I think that's just who we are. I mean, it's the way we practice. It's the way we play. It's, you know, I don't want to say it's all business, but it's like, hey, there's a standard that we want to play to, and, you know, just because we're up by 14 doesn't mean that our standard's going to drop. Actually, like at halftime, I told him, I said, you know, the average person sitting here is looking at this and saying, well, it's a 21-7 game and happy. I said, here's the deal. We left points on the board or off the board. And I said, you know what? We need to get them back this half, and we need to step it up, and we need to block longer, like I just said, and we need to tackle harder, and we just need to do those things. And that's just, you know, it's a journey to greatness. And, you know, very few of them ever get to be great, or like myself, you'll never get to be great, but it's about the journey of becoming great is the impact that it has on everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And the journey served you well so far. You guys are in a really good spot, and you have a chance to put yourself in even a better spot this week. Dennison Schleswig comes to town next Friday. You know, I don't need to tell you this, but it is for the district title, but you know, what do you do going into a game like that? Do you hype it up to the guys, or again, is it just, hey, this is a game we got to play and let's go win it kind of deal?
Well, and I don't think you can put too much pressure on them to say, hey, let's go, and this is the district championship game and stuff like that. And every high school kid knows. I mean, there's the internet, there's RPIs, there's, you know, Bound. I mean, there's, you know, BC Moore. There's 14,000 things out there that everybody knows what's going on. And it's just like, hey, we got to take care of business. We always worry about ourselves before we ever worry about another team. But, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. I think there will be a mention 2, 3, or maybe a few more times about, you know, the game last year or losing, you know, 13-7 and, you know, or 13-6. And, you know, that's going to be a factor. And, you know, we're both shooting for the same thing. They've had a good run. We're having a great run. You know what I mean? And the good news is they're coming to, you know, Lamar's, and, you know, we're going to have our fans packed. And we had quite a few fans last night driving the 2 hours, which is, you know, a commitment on their part too. And, And, you know, I'm just excited to play. And, you know, you're like you said, it's a district championship. We don't need to bring that up. We just need to bring up, hey, is your downstep good enough? Are your reads right? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, are we tackling, you know, the way we should be tackling, fit in our gap? And so, you know, it's still a football game. All the district championships and all that stuff is nice, and we can enjoy that afterwards. But right now, you know, it's going to be focused on Denison. They've got a good team. They've got a good quarterback. He does lots of things. I mean, he'll get in. They run some option, and he doesn't have a problem dealing it when it's, you know, he's in the hole and that running back is off to the side. He doesn't mind doing that. So it's going to be a good game. But Bulldogs are going to be ready.
Yeah, they're going to be ready. I'm looking forward to seeing the crowd support like you talked about. It's going to be a big game. Bundle up, might be a little chilly, but the action on the field will keep you warm as well. Coach, we'll let you go. We appreciate your time, and best of luck to you guys as you prepare for this coming week.
Thanks, Daniel.
Absolutely. That's Ken Vigdahl, head coach of LaMarsh Community Football. We'll take a break. Jeremy Schindler, head coach of the Jays, comes your way next here on KLEM.
Get your gear for next week's games at Get Branded 360 Downtown LaMarsh. Hi, this is Lori. We have a great selection of Bulldog and Jays gear that will fit everyone, baby through adult 3X sizes. We have things like onesies, short sleeve and long sleeve t-shirts, sweatshirts, shorts, stocking caps, baseball caps. Stop in and check out our new styles and grab a stadium chair and a water bottle branded with your favorite team. Watch the games in comfort and style. Get Branded 360 Downtown LaMarsh.
When you want to show appreciation for someone's generosity, kindness, or achievement, Dryco Products Incorporated can assist you with a wide selection of high-quality recognition products. Go to www.drycoproducts.com to see examples of the complete line of displays, building directories, employee tenure, wall of fame, memorials, sales performance, education, medical, faith, military, and much more. Dryco Products is your source for personalized gifts, such as Bible covers, wine glasses, picture frames. Almost anything is possible to personalize. Contact Dryco Products for more ideas. Dryco Products online, www.drycoproducts.com.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We welcome back to this edition of the Coach's Corner, brought to you by Nohava Construction, Chapman Overhead Door, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, True Health Chiropractic, and Floyd Valley Healthcare. Joining us now is the head coach of the playoff-bound Galen Catholic football team for the third year in a row. They were able to defeat South O'Brien 33-0 last night for homecoming. Of course, the head coach of the Jays is Jeremy Schindler. And just, Coach, first of all, it was a great day homecoming-wise, lots of festivities. And it's got to feel even good that the guys, number one, were able to kind of enjoy all of that before the game. And then I guess enjoy it even more after the game with a big win.
Yeah, you know, our guys did a really good job all week, and we just told them, you know, enjoy the activities this week, enjoy all the fun that comes with homecoming. But, you know, when it comes practice time, let's get work done. And then, you know, most importantly, when it comes to game time on Friday night, you know, let's come out ready to go. And, you know, I could just feel it on the field in pregame warmups. There was a different kind of energy. There was a different juice about that team last night. And they were ready to go, and we came out and played, you know, probably our best game of the year so far.
Well, I think I can't remember if we were recording an interview or if we were talking, you know, around an interview. But I brought up the comment at one point where it's like it seems like one night you have Cale Pearson go off, you have Cole McCarty go off another night, and you just can't get them on the right track. And you said, just wait till both of them get going and see what our offense can do. And my goodness, I think you're right. They almost run for 400 yards on their own. I guess here's the million-dollar question. What worked for them last night?
Well, I think it starts with the guys up front, and we played about six guys on the line of scrimmage last night, rotating people in and out. Those guys did a great job. Gabe Wilton, Drake Hodgson, Brady Drogue-Miller, Will Harpenaw, Jacob Galvin, and Nolan Nillis, you know, and then we'll try and add Dane Lehman back to that offensive mm-hmm. side. We just played him on defense last night, but, you know, there's seven guys up front that we really believe in and trust in, and they started getting the job done really good last night. But, you know, Cole made great decisions in the run game. in terms of his reads and was able to, you know, pull the ball and make big plays early on in the game. And, you know, Cale was just kind of steady Eddie all throughout the game. And then he had the big run in the fourth quarter for the touchdown. So, you know, those guys just did a good job. Line did a great job blocking, opening up holes. Running backs did a good job of running hard and finishing. And so that was a huge plus.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it has been really nice to see, Coach, that, you know, like you talked about, the decision-making for Cole about whether or not he needs to run or hand it off or whatever. His decision-making has grown, and Cale's decision-making has grown from last year, where he's hitting that hole, he's getting vertical, he knows when to do that. What's it had to take to be able to get to that point, to be able to have those guys, you know, really be clicking like that and making really good decisions?
Yeah, you know, Cole's really green as a quarterback, but he's definitely grown a lot this year. I think the biggest thing is he's always been a good runner, but running from a, you know, he used to play tailback in junior high, but running from the quarterback spot's a little bit different. And, you know, just teaching him the different ways that he can use his athleticism. And Coach Ellen's always, you know, would preach, hey, you know, you only got to keep the ball three or four times a game on those read plays. Mm-hmm. But when you keep it, you got to go 70 and you got to score. And last night he did that. You know, he made the correct reads, and there was most of the time when he kept the ball, it was a big play. You know, it was 15 plus yards on the ground. So that was really good to see. And you know, Cale, we really preached this week, be patient. We really wanted to try and get our inside zone game, you know, our power, our counter, our outside zone. Those have been really successful plays for us these past few weeks. We really wanted to get our inside zone game going so that way people can't load the edges on us and load the off-tackle areas. And, you know, it started to work there in the second half, and we really emphasized getting our two double teams and moving the ball and then just being patient in the backfield. And Cale and even Jake Bogan came in for us and had a few carries, and he did a really good job, too, of just staying patient behind that offensive line, finding that cutback lane, and then making a play.
Yeah, and we're talking with Jeremy Schindler, head coach of Galen Catholic football. You talk about all that starting to get going in the second half. I think a lot of people would be sitting there maybe who watched the game and said, well, but you scored twice in the first half. Coach, I feel like you probably were scoring too quick to really see the patience and the edge setting kind of set in. I mean, you were up, 12-0 right away in that first quarter before South O'Brien could even get their bearings under them, it seems like.
Yeah, again, those were the two plays that we scored on was a, you know, 58-yard touchdown run by Cole and then a 73-yard touchdown run by Cole. And that was just, again, it was one of those five or six times that he needs to pull the ball. And, you know, Cale's going to, like I told Cole during the week, I said, Cale's going to get a lot of respect. Teams are keying on Cale. He is a fantastic running back. I think he's one of the top running backs in Class A football.
Yeah.
But because of that, you're going to have opportunity. And those were two plays that he really took his opportunity in. And, you know, maybe early in the year he doesn't take the correct path. But last night he took the correct path. He broke arm tackles. You know, he had a stiff arm here or there, and he took it to the house. And that was really good to see.
And it's something we've talked about with your program here, you know, for many years now, in the fact that, and this doesn't just apply to Cole or Cale, but it also applies to that big offensive line that doesn't always get the respect it deserves. We always try and make sure we mention them at least a few times, but it just seems to be, Coach, whether it is Cole tucking it and running or letting Cale get the easy touchdown on a play, it doesn't seem like there's really any animosity. I mean, Cale could probably feel like, man, I probably could have scored that touchdown too, and it would have looked better on my stats. But I think the nice thing for you, Coach, is that they just want Galen to be successful and the team to be successful, and whatever needs to happen to do that is okay with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, those two are good buddies on and off the football field, so that helps. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you also go to our wide receivers, and we ask our wide receivers to do a lot of dirty work. We ask them to block. And, you know, last night I saw guys, and this is the key to the big runs, when you crack the 50-plus yarders, is you got to have wide receivers blocking down the field. And our wide receivers blocked last night, and it was fantastic to see. And we tried to reward them with a couple quick hitters. We just missed on a couple quick passes. Obviously, we connected on one to Pacus, but, yep. You know, they really blocked their tails off. So up and down the lineup offensively, it was a great effort in terms of, you know, blocking the correct person, you know, depending upon what the play is, and then, you know, sustaining that block for long periods of time so that we can have those big plays.
Jeremy Schindler with us, head coach of Galen Catholic football. A lot of great things offensively, and we could talk about them for the rest of the hour, but, Coach, I'd be remiss if I didn't address that other side of the scoreboard with the zero. Give Coach Ellenzone a ton of credit, man. Three turnovers, and, you know, just it seemed like South O'Brien just really couldn't move the football very much against you last night.
No, I mean, the first thing you got to stop when you play South O'Brien is you got to stop their run, and I thought we did a pretty decent job of that. I think they had 110 yards on the ground, so, mm-hmm. You know, not a bad night. They were able to move it a little bit, but every time they got on our side of the field, you know, they would, you know, have to try and throw a ball. We'd get them in a third and long or a fourth and long, mm-hmm. And when they put that ball up, we made some plays on it with two interceptions, and then we forced a fumble and got on that. So three turnovers. Anytime you can keep a zero on the scoreboard, that's a great, great defensive effort. And Coach Ellenzone said it at halftime, you know, we're up 27-0. It's not a position that we've been in a lot where I don't think we've been in that position all year where we've been up big at half.
Right.
But, you know, the guys, he said, we want to keep that zero on the scoreboard. That's important to him. It's important to us as a team. It's important to our defense. And, you know, for the guys to go out there and continue to fight, even though when things got a little sloppy for us on offense mm-hmm. in the second half, the defense stayed tough, and they did a really good job of keeping that zero up on the scoreboard.
Well, one thing I love to see is that it's all the guys in your front seven really leading the way in tackles. You know, Gabe and Dylan and you know, Kale can sometimes creep up there. Will Harpenaugh, Brady Drugmiller. I mean, it's a lot of guys, which I guess has to tell you as a coach that you guys were plugging gaps. You're getting to the point of contact really early, and again, just making life difficult for South O'Brien.
Yeah, I thought Gabe had a really good night defensively. You know, he's a bigger linebacker, obviously. You know, he plays on the offensive line for us and started off the season as a defensive end, and we just felt like we needed to flip-flop him and Dylan Pakus and kind of readjust where everybody was playing after we saw him play a few games. And you know, this is kind of the team that Gabe is built to play against defensively. Not that he doesn't do a good job in pass coverage, but that's not natural to him. He wants to play in a phone booth, and he wants to fill gaps, and he wants to hit people and stick them at the line of scrimmage. And there was a couple times he did that. He filled the hole and stuck the ball carrier right in the hole for a 0-yard gain or a negative one. And so that was really good to see. And our defensive line did a pretty good job of playing low, getting off blocks and making tackles. So really good job by those guys. The rewarding thing as a coaching staff is that this is the stuff that we've been working on in practice. Mm-hmm. So to see that growth, to see them take what we've been doing, you know, working on splitting double teams, working on getting off blocks and making tackles, you know, working on our reads and stuff on offense and different things like that. It's really good to see that what we're doing in practice, they are now applying to the games, and they're having a lot of success with that.
If you could guarantee this performance from Gabe every week the rest of the year because you're able to put a crown on his head, would you do it just to get 7-8 tackles out of him every week?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd do that. I'd take that in a heartbeat. So he had quite the big day, homecoming king. Yeah. and the guys did such a great job all week of not letting, you know, and I say distractions, but you know, the fun activities.
Sure.
They didn't let that bother them, and they came out with a mentality that they were gonna, you know, make it a long night for South O'Brien, and we did just that.
No, they absolutely did. It shows on that scoreboard with that 33-0 contest. I saw on your stat sheet Landon Ryder had an interception. You know, Chance Callison, all those guys who have made such an impact for you. I guess that also begs the question now. Maybe knock on wood a little bit. How are we doing in the health department? Because I know you guys have been kind of snake bitten more than anybody else here in the area, it feels like.
Yeah, you know, we got Dane Lehman back, and, mm-hmm. and we played him quite a bit on defense. We got Alex Peters back, you know, and he was able to help us out and play some reps, and we're hoping to work him into the offense a little bit more as the weeks go on here. But he was able to play a little bit in the slot for us. We came out of the game healthy last night, so this is probably the healthiest we've been all year, I guess. So it's a good time to do that, and you know, it's go to work and get a win against Hartley, and then you know see what happens next.
Yeah, and this Hartley Melvin Sanborn squad turned from maybe a little bit of a pushover in the first 6 weeks to now they're going to be coming off a win against you guys from last night, I guess. Does that kind of help reinforce to the guys going into this week that, hey, you still have to respect your opponent because, you know, look, they were able to beat, you know, Sibley last night.
Hartley's had our number for the past 3 or 4 or so many years. I lost track. So there will be no need to motivate our team. I will make sure that we are motivated. They've been a thorn in our side. They've put in some beatings on us. And
right.
I hope to. I think our guys want to return the favor this year, and I think we won't have any problem coming out, having a focused week of practice, having a great week of preparation, and then going out and again, if we bring that same energy we brought last night and execute like we did, I like our chances.
I like your chances too, and we'll be down there in Hartley for that contest. So we're looking forward to a great game there on Friday night. Coach, we'll let you go. We always appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you throughout the week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Daniel.
All right, absolutely. That's Jeremy Schindler, head coach of Galen Catholic football. We'll come back, and we'll be joined by the head coach of the Akron Westfield Westerners, Coach John Sievert, here on the Coach's Corner, right here on KLAM.
Our well-child exams cover athletic physicals, but they are so much more. In addition to physical needs of a child, we also focus on their emotional and social health. Let's face it, being a kid can be hard. At Floyd Valley Clinics, our providers work with families as a team to keep pediatric patients healthy and safe. Learn more about Floyd Valley Clinics at floydvalley.org. Your community, your health, your life. Floyd Valley Healthcare.
The pursuit of true health. That's the goal of Dr. Jared Langle of True Health Chiropractic Lamar's, serving the community with a holistic approach to chiropractic, guiding patients to mindful movement and proper nutrition. Accepting your insurance, True Health Chiropractic, located just off Business Highway 75 South Lamar's, across from Four Brothers. Discover wellness. Discover True Health Chiropractic.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We welcome you back to the KLEM Coach's Corner right here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you. The Coach's Corner program every Saturday is brought to you by Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, Plymouth Awards Engraving, Floyd Valley Healthcare, True Health Chiropractic, Chapman Overhead Doors, and Nohava Construction. We're pleased to be joined this morning by the head coach of the 10th-ranked team in the state in Class A. And now we can also add to their line the district champs of Class A District 1. That's the Westerners of Akron Westfield, 5-0 in the district after last night's 25-0 win at Alta Aurelia. And, boy, they've won 6 contests in a row. My goodness, Coach, I remember we talked to you preseason. There was a lot of excitement. We were able to talk to you after your first win. How good does it feel for the guys to, you know, get what they've, you know, get accomplished what they've done so far this season? And now you can talk about some home playoff games coming your way.
Yeah, I'm really proud of the guys and how much work they put in, and now they see why we do it. You know, that effort that they put in preseason and off season really is paying off, and they finally bought in, believed in themselves, and now they're accomplishing great things in with that effort. So, yeah, I'm very, very proud of them. I think they played their butts off tonight, you know, kind of dug out a really hard win. I think Alta really tested us first half, and we made some adjustments and came back pretty strong second half. So,
yeah, absolutely. We talked a little bit about that beforehand, and we're definitely going to dive into that contest. But I want to ask you. You talk about buying in, and that can be hard for any athletic program, especially a football program with a first year head coach. Obviously, you have
the connections to the school and to the kids, having been some of their wrestling coach for the last couple of years. But just what does it say about the kids that you coach and the players that you have, that they were able to take new coaching, new leadership, and run with it so well this year into where you're at now as district champs?
Yeah, when I picked up this job, I could tell they were, all the older guys were extremely hungry. Mm. By that, I mean, they were willing to give up everything in order to win games. And I could see that from the off-season workouts, the commitment they put in every morning in the weight room, all the extra stuff they did. They believed that they could be a great team. And in my eyes right now, they are a great team. And we try to approach every week 1-0, and they've bought into that. Don't overlook anybody. Don't try to get fancy with anything. Just do your job. Do it the best you can. And I think we've seen it get better and better each week. I think if we play Ridgeview again, I think that score would be different. But, yep. You can't get those games back, and they're great learning experiences too. You know, it kind of helps us figure out some things, and we've been doing that each week, figuring out what we're good at, what we're bad at, and keep adjusting and trying to make ourselves better. And I'm really proud of the guys, and very thankful for my coaching staff that we put in all this time, and it's really paying off for the guys, and it's really fun to see. It's really good for these guys to get a bunch of wins, and I hope we keep this ball rolling.
Yeah, I hope so too, gosh, because you could have a ton of great playoff action over in Akron here this fall. Again, John Sievert is the head coach of Akron Ball, currently the number 10 ranked team in Class A, according to the Iowa High School Athletic Association. You mentioned the growth and the adjustments that these guys have needed week in and week out. Well, as you were alluding to earlier, you need to make those adjustments in week and in game with your contest against Alta Aurelia. Just what kind of things did you have to adjust at the break? Because you went from being ahead only 3-0 and then, tacking on 22 points there in the second half.
Yeah, first half we were trying to air it out a little bit, try to get our pass game going a little bit, and I think we got a little bit heavy on that, and we ultimately reverted back to our run, which I think is very solid. Mm-hmm. It didn't help us that we had a couple guys, crucial guys, get injured and couldn't return to the game. So there was a couple adjustments there that we made, but we have some great, great guys that fill in those spots and did a great job tonight. But, like I said, first half, it was a little bit rough. We were trying some new things, trying to establish the pass. We've been pretty run heavy lately, but we want to be able to be a well-rounded team. Mm-hmm. So, just a couple of missed routes, a couple of missed tackles, and we clean that up. We make those big plays, but it's nice to know that we can run the ball when we need to, and the guys know that they, up front, I thought, did a really good job, offense and defense, mm-hmm. To know that we can get a push and get the yards we need to win games.
Well, and I want to go to what you just talked about there, running the football when you need to and being able to do that. I mean, I unfortunately, the last couple of years, I don't think that was necessarily the case, whether it was you don't think you can run the ball when you need to or you don't think you can pass the ball when you need to. Just talk about how have you been able to make this offense become so multiple and be to the point where, okay, they're taking away this aspect of our passing game. It's really slowing us down. Now let's just kind of divert the game plan a little bit and try and go a little more run heavy, let's say.
Yeah, Nathan Harris kind of runs our offense, and he's such a really good X's and O's guys, and he reads defenses really well, and his play calling the last 4 or 5 games has been really good, and it's nice to know that the guys believe in what he's calling and to know that, hey, we got stuff in our playbook that will work. We just got to make sure we get all the kinks out of the way and set up everything. So it really comes down to the guys executing the plays too. So And I think we could have passed the ball. You know, if we get one completion out of those three or four deep balls we tried throwing tonight, I think that changes the outcome of the game big time, and we have a little bit more confidence throwing the ball. The guys have confidence up front, pass blocking, which our pass pro was really good tonight. But, you know, it's nice having, like I said earlier, the coaching staff, and they're bought in. The guys are bought into them. We're all kind of on this path right now that we're all, you know, really excited to see where we can go and keep each week going and believing in ourselves. And, you know, sky's the limit for this group.
Yeah, and a football team like you're kind of describing there, that's on the same page, that's, you know, really, really clicking well, is just a beautiful thing to watch on the football field week in and week out. And it looks like you guys are doing that, not just on the offensive side, Coach, but you don't have that zero on the scoreboard for no reason there. I mean, your defense, maybe take away last week's result with MMCRU, your defense has had some outstanding games. What's been behind that? What was behind that last night for you guys?
A lot of game planning. Nick Jacobs is our D coordinator. He watches a lot of films. He makes sure, like, these guys are ready for every game. Those guys read their cues very well. They're usually exactly where they need to be, unless it's a trick play or something. But it comes down to studying and making sure you're in the right spot at the right time. So these guys are very confident in Nick and what he calls on defense and executing plays, and I was really happy with how good the guys flew around tonight, and especially our, you know, front four and our linebackers. They were hunters tonight, and it was good to see them fly around, make plays, and honestly, the whole defense did a great job. It was our first goose egg, and we've been trying to get one all year. We finally got one. It was fun to see.
Yeah, very fun to see. And you talk about, you know, guys flying around the ball, and I think that's the one thing that I've always noticed from Akron Westfield defenses in years past is you guys have a lot of athletes. You got some big guys that can hold their own in the trenches down there down low as well, but they're athletic, man. I mean, whenever you put a guy in your front four, in your secondary, you know he's going to be an athlete. Just how much work does that take to you know, get the guys able to fly around, you know, whether they're carrying 150 pounds of weight or they're carrying 250 pounds of weight?
Yeah, we've been pretty blessed with some studs around over in Akron, and it's nice to have them and be able to put them in key positions for them to be successful players. So, you know, just figuring out what you have, put them in the right spot, put them in the best place that gives you the best opportunity to win. So, yeah, we've been really blessed with good athletes at Akron. And then, you know, on top of that, Nick finds ways to make sure that we're going to be in every single game. So it's really fortunate to have players and coaches that really, you know, buy into the system and give us the best opportunity to, you know, compete in ball games. So really happy and proud of everybody that has contributed to this team. It's really awesome to see.
Yeah, it's like you said, very, very great to have everybody, you know, contributing, doing things right. And it's why you guys are having the success you are and why it can hopefully continue. Last thing for you with South of Bryan coming up next week, Coach. I think I know this won't be the case with your guys, but I think a lot of teams could go into that game and say, well, we've locked up the district championship. We can take next week off. We've got the playoffs, all this kind of stuff. What are some things that maybe you do as a coach and try and encourage with the players to make sure that they are, like you talked about earlier, respecting every opponent and not taking a week off, let's say?
Yeah, you guys still enter every week with the mindset of going 1-0. So how do we do that? And we'll start by watching film, analyzing who their biggest threats are, who we're going to match up against them, and then what's going to be our cues on offense. You know, are they soft on coverage or loading the box, this and that? You know, it all comes down to preparation, and, you know, if us coaches get the good preparation done, the guys will do the work for us. So just keep them bought in. You can't let them have a week off. soon as you do that, you start losing guys here and there, and we don't want that. So keep approaching every week like it's a game you have to win. So, and this is a game we have to win. I think the guys have done a good job of making sure they're not overlooking teams. Not that there's any team that we've played yet that we've been able to overlook, but I think the guys really have bought into, okay, let's take every week as serious as the week before. So can't overlook South O'Brien. I don't think that's a game we could just say, hey, yeah, it's chalked up as a win. We still have to play.
Right.
So we'll be ready to show up to play. And as the game progresses, if we have to make some adjustments like we did this week, we will. And ultimately, the job is to go 1-0. So that's what we'll try to do this week, too.
Yeah, I hope you do. And I hope you're playing. Hope you're playing your best football heading into these upcoming weeks. I know you've made the growth, and it's been fun to watch. It's really going to be fun to see what this team can do. Like you said, the ceiling's high for them. So looking forward to it. Coach, we always appreciate chatting with you. Best of luck as you get ready for South O'Brien, and congratulations as you clinch the district title.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. That's John Seaver, the head coach of Akron Westfield football. We'll wrap up the Coach's Corner when we come back on KLEM.
Are you looking for local and dependable overhead door sales and service? Hi, my name is Adam, owner of Chapman Overhead Doors. We are excited to bring over 30 years of experience from the Spencer area to Lamar's and surrounding communities. Chapman Overhead Doors services all makes and models of commercial and residential garage doors. We sell only the highest quality Midland doors. Call Chapman Overhead Doors for a free quote today, 541-1179. That's 541-1179.
Put Nohava on the job and on your buildings. Nohava Construction doesn't just offer products to customers, they offer solutions. Their partnership with Duralast Roofing Incorporated allows them to deliver one of the most durable, maintenance-free, and high-performing roof systems in the industry. To top it off, Nohava Construction has been named an elite roofing specialist, which means your warranty is automatically guaranteed with any Nohava installation. Nohava Construction in Lamar's.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And we welcome you back to the Coach's Corner one final time this Saturday morning, brought to you by Nohava Construction, Chapman Overhead Door, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, True Health Chiropractic, and Floyd Valley Healthcare. My thanks, as always, to our head coaches for joining us, Lamar's Community Head Football Coach Ken Bigdahl, Galen Catholic head coach Jeremy Schindler, as well as the district champion head coach of Akron Westfield football, Coach John Sievert. Love talking about wins throughout the Coach's Corner program. Love talking with all of our coaches all throughout the season, and my thanks to them for taking time out of their day to join us here this morning. Well, we got some more sports action for you coming up this week. It's going to be a nice, impactful week of sports here on KLEM. It'll start right away on Tuesday. We're going to broadcast the Wario Conference Volleyball Championship game, Galen Catholic at second-ranked Hinton. That's going to be a fun one. Both teams are undefeated in the Wario Conference, so we'll have that contest for you right here on KLEM Radio Tuesday night. And then on Friday night, we'll be in Hartley. Galen Catholic football rounds out the regular season, trying to lock up that third spot in the district race to hopefully get themselves a district runner-up on the other side of their matchup instead of a district champ. So trying to get a more favorable matchup. That'll be a kickoff at Hartley Melvin Sanborn at 7 o'clock coming up on Friday night. And then we'll have the Coach's Corner again on Saturday morning, and we'll do it over the next week when we have some postseason volleyball. That's going to take up a lot of our time coming up in just a couple of weeks. So that's going to do it for this edition of the Coach's Corner. Thanks so much for tuning in. And again, thanks to all of our coaches for joining us. For all of us at KLEM Radio and for KLEM Sports, Daniel Versteg, have a great rest of your Saturday.